not has made. Our Lord and our God, we ask that you accept our thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Lord, we are here this morning for you and you alone. We are going to go into your word this morning. We ask, O Lord, that you prepare our heart to receive the word in Jesus' name. Father, enable us, O Lord, so that we'll be doers of the word in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God Almighty, for in Jesus' precious name we have prayed. So we are going to still continue on our topic, the church. We're talking about the church of God. We know what is the church, why church, the authority of the church. So this morning we'll be looking at the responsibilities of members of the church. You know, we have to know our responsibility as a member of the church. We have to know what we need to do. We've known why, the reason why we come to church. So there are some things, you know, there's always what we must do. Remember the rich ruler who came to Jesus to ask, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? So there's always what we must do in the house of God. So as we go through this morning, I would like us to, because this one is the one that concerns every one of us, so I would like as many people to participate, as much people as possible to participate this morning, so that we'll be able to know our responsibilities and understand it, and God will help us in Jesus' name. Just like we've known, and even this morning we've been taught, that the head of the church is Jesus Christ. That is why, if you look at our memory verse, Matthew 16:18, if you can remember again, it says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That is Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church, talking to us. So we know that, you know, he is the head of the church. That is why, if you look at our manual, it says the Bible likens the church of God to a family. You know, it's a family, just like our own family at home. So the church is a family. Can we quickly open our Bibles to the book of Ephesians 19, chapter 2, verses 19 to 22. I want 6 people to read for me this morning, so I'm going to call names of the readers. I want Mr. Ogunbemi to read, Sister Shade Adeoye, then Brother Ogunbemi too, and I want Sister Wumi Adesanya to read. So, because I want us to participate so that we'll be able to remember. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 to 22.
And abuse of the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. 21. In whom all the building fitly framed together growth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit.
Praise the Lord. You know, the Bible is likening the church of God as a family. This is a good news for us this morning. Say, we are no longer a stranger or foreigner, but fellow citizen. You remember, how many of us remember when we became the citizen of this nation? We are talking of heavenly citizen. So we should be happy, you know, that we are no more stranger, that God has called us into the kingdom of his dear son. You know, that is the church. The church is not built on modern tradition. The church is built on spiritual heritage from the Bible, you know, and that we can achieve through what Christ has done for us on the cross of Calvary. So we have spiritual heritage given to us through Jesus Christ, our Lord, and our perfect example. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15.
House of God.
Praise the Lord.
Which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth.
Praise the Lord. The Bible describes the church as the pillar and the ground for truth. The essence of the church, you know, you come to the church, you hear the word of God, which is the truth. That is the foundation, you know, of the truth. You know, the church is where the word is being preached, the undiluted word of God is being preached. And, you know, that's why it's surprising when some people, they come to the church, they say, the preaching is affecting me. If you come to the church and everything they say, there's nothing that is going to change you, then it means that is no church. It's just like in our families at home, we just leave our children or the husband will just leave the whole family to go. You do your own thing, I do my own thing. It can't work like that. So that is why we still look at what the intention of our Lord Jesus Christ, what the church is all about. So the next person to read them, That's Revelation 1:15, 1:5. Mm-hmm. Then read 7:14, 7:14, chapter 7:14.
First Revelation 1:5.
Yeah.
Of the earth unto him that loved us and washed us from his sin in his own blood.
Praise the Lord. You know, we have been set free from our sin through his death and resurrection, you know, and we have a place in his kingdom. So that is why we are the church, we are the call out one. So that's what Christ has done for us. He has called us, we have been set free. Let's look at chapter 7, verse 14.
These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb.
Praise the Lord, you know. We have been, you know, he has called us, you know, we have been washed by the blood of Jesus. So that is why, if you look at where we have read, we know that Jesus is the head of the church. You know, all the places we have read, you know, it's still pointing to the same address, that the same point that Jesus Christ is the head of his church, you know. Let's quickly look at him. We know that Jesus is the head of the church as the chief shepherd, husband, or bridegroom. Let's look at a popular Bible verse that we all know, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 to 32. You know, all those three places, they are pointing to the same thing. So I want us to read together, then I will explain it. Ephesians chapter 5, 25 to 32, John 3, 29, and 2 Corinthians 11, 12, John 5, 25 to 32.
Loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any same way husband ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, people have never hated their own bodies, but they feed and care for them, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church.
Praise the Lord. I want somebody to read John 3, 29.
He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, this my joy, therefore, is fulfilled.
Praise the Lord. If we look at where we have read, just like I said, that's why we have the bulletin. We can go home and read the remaining two verses. You know, Jesus Christ, our perfect example, you know, he likened the church of God, you know, to a family, you know, husband and wife, that husband should love their wife, just as Jesus Christ did for us, that he laid his life down for us. So that is what Christ has demonstrated for us as, you know, as a church, you know, as a Christian, as his children. So he's asking us, it is our responsibility to do the same thing in the household of God, you know. He's our perfect example. Jesus Christ is our perfect example. So he's telling us, that's why he's likening it to the husband and wife relationship at home, that we should, you know, our husband should love us, then the wife, we have to submit. So there's the same thing in the church. We have to do our own bit by submitting to the authority in the church. Jesus Christ is the head of the church, but he has some people that he has called in place. You know, the pastors, you know, those people that are in the church, they are the authority that we need to submit to. And just like I said last week, that, you know, if there's no submission in any organization, nothing will be able to work out. If everybody is just doing whatever he or she like, you know, we'll not be able to do anything. The same thing in the church. church, we have our own responsibilities. Just like the Bible, Apostle Paul was saying that, the, you know, as a body, we have to work together. The head cannot say, I don't need the mouth. The head cannot say, I don't need the eyes. I don't need the hand. We are from we are different parts, but we have to work together. That is why it's very important that we should ask God to open our eyes so that we'll be able to see our ultimate role wherever God has placed us, and God will help us in Jesus' name. You know, Jesus Christ, he's the one who will ultimately approve or disapprove of his church, because he's coming for a church without spot or wrinkle. Just like we know, as we know, the Lord himself appoint the fivefold ministry. The pastor is the under shepherd representing him and preparing the saint for his coming. Let's quickly look at Ephesians 4 verses 11 and 12. Yes.
And some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ.
Yes, it's all right. Praise the Lord. You know, we know that, you know, the fivefold ministry helped to prepare the church, just like I've read here, that Jesus is coming for a church without spot or wrinkle. So that is the why, well, you know, we have to work together so that we'll be able to, you know, help with the help of God. We have to prepare the church so that when Jesus Christ will be coming, to come to meet the church without spot or wrinkle. And, you know, we have to prepare the church for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Some people still say that they don't think Jesus is coming. He's coming. If we read our Bible well, we know that we are aiming for heaven. Here is not our home. We are just here, you know, for a while. And we know that eternity is the ultimate for us as a child of God. And God will make us there in Jesus' name. As we know, the Lord himself appointed the five ministers, where we have read. The pastor does not point the members of the church to himself, but to the Lord of the church, Jesus Christ. The Lord of the church, Jesus Christ. If you look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 to 23, we see that one again. Can we quickly go there? Ephesians chapter 1.
And gave him to be head over all things to the church. 23, which is his body, the fullness of him who filled all in all.
Lord, when reading the book of Ephesians, it is important to know that it's not written for an individual. It is written for the church. You know, that is why it's very important for us as a Christian to read it. You know, we know that Christ is the head of the church. We are the body. Each member is involved in others, you know. As we go about doing things, we are all involved. That's why there should be unity in the church. We cannot say, oh, because I don't want to step still, I'm not going to do anything. No, we are together, and we have to work together as one. And God will help us in Jesus' name. We are talking about our responsibilities in the church. It says, one way this is achieved is by providing a Holy Spirit-led interpretation of the Word of God. You know, we preach the Word of God. The Word of God will teach us. Will point us to those things that we need to do. In the local churches, this may translate to a set doctrine. He also pray for members of the church. You know, it's our responsibility to pray for each other. He appoints people into the offices like the deacon, the elders, the bishop, and naturally function under the pastor. You know, the pastor will appoint some people in the church to help so that they will be able to equip the body of Christ and prepare for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So can we quickly see that one in the book of Titus? Titus is after 2 Timothy, Titus 1, 7 and 9.
Household, he must be blameless, not overbearing, not quick-tempered, not given to drunkenness, not violent, not pursuing dishonest gain. Rather, he must be hospitable, one who loves what is good, who is self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it.
Praise the Lord. You know, the pastor can appoint people in offices to help, to equip and prepare, you know, the one that will teach a sound spiritual doctrine to equip, you know, just like he said this morning, that the deacon, the bishop, they can teach, they can help to equip, you know, the people. He himself, you know, those are the qualities. He should live a his own life for Christ, you know. Because if he's not living his own life for Christ, it will be impossible for him to prepare the people for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. They carry out assignment as may be appointed to them by the pastor. You know, they have to walk hand in hand with the pastor. And, you know, the pastor take authority from God. That is why he's always praying to God for direction. Can we quickly look at the same titles again, chapter 1, verses 7 to 9. Can the usher quickly take the children, please? Titus chapter 1, verses...
No striker, not given to filthy lures, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word, as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convict the gainsayers.
Praise the Lord. He's still talking about the characteristic of the people that is going to work with the pastor, you know, to be able to carry out the assignment, you know, that they are supposed to do. So they have to have this quality, because if they don't have it, it will be impossible for them to be able to lead. They may be required to teach and be model to other members of the church. Yes, they have to be sound in doctrine, and their life must, you know, point to what they teach. You know, it's not about head knowledge. Our life will show that we are, you know, because the Bible said in the book of Ephesians that we should be imitator of Jesus Christ. So we have to live a life that is patterned after our Lord Jesus Christ. The other members of the church have a responsibility to join in carrying out the work, you know. Other members of the church, if you are not appointed into the fivefold ministry, you can become a worker, just like we have been doing. You know, we have been training workers. Become a worker in line with the vision that God has given the pastor. You know, you can become a worker. That is where we get ushers, you know, people who come here, they do the, you know, they prepare the church. So those are our responsibility. You know, the congregation is responsible for the physical need of the pastor. You know, it's our responsibility. You know, that's what we had this morning, that we have to teach everything in the Bible. It's not those things that affect us. You know, it is the responsibility of the congregation to see to the physical need of the pastor. And I can say that, you know, the people of this church, they are doing well in that area. I can know Christmas is approaching now. We don't need to worry about rice, everything that we need. And I know that how many weeks ago, people in this church have really met my need. One day I was just thinking aloud and I said, I need to change my phone. I received 2 SIM cards immediately. Praise the Lord. So last Christmas, I was telling some people, I said, I don't want, bring the money. I don't want, don't buy me anything. I know what I'm buying. I've seen it in Garden City. I said, bring the money. Praise the Lord. So let's quickly look at the book of Galatians, chapter 6, verse 6. Galatians 6. Praise the Lord. Just like I said, that we don't even wait, you know, until if we send that something is befitting, you know, we should do it. You know, sometimes we take our leaders for granted. We say, oh, our leader is not, the pastor is not full-time. Or no, we have to do our own. We have to do what the Bible says, you know, utensils. I've been to where they sell it. Just like I said, I'm not ready to buy it. And somebody just came and she gave me. Then I told her, I said, oh, you know that I've even been looking at this thing, that I've seen it. You know, how some people will just, you know, without you even saying it, that God will use the people of the church to meet your need. And we have to, you know, we don't say it because it's very easy, just like I said, to take our, you know, the pastors and the leaders of the church for, you know, for granted. I say, oh, he can afford it. No, he may be able to afford it, but it's still our responsibility to look after him. You know, if we see any conference that is going about, if we want him to go, or the leadership of generously. You know, I was telling the people in the house fellowship that people should be careful the way they speak to the man of God. You know, I'm not talking about this, our local assembly, but anyway, even leaders. I told them, I say, who knows when God will fight? If we say God is not going to fight and God decided to fight, who can fight God? I said, we should be very careful because, you know, sometimes we do things in error that we don't know. So that is why anything we do, you know, it is our responsibility. We should do it, you know, because they are the one who watch over our soul, who labor, who prays for us, you know. We should do it, you know, not in, you know, in animosity. We should do it cheerfully. We should not be reluctant in honoring them, even as God used them to bless us, and God will help us in those areas in Jesus' name. If you look at the same 1 Timothy 6:18, Hebrews 13:16, is still talking about the same thing, that we should, it is the responsibility of the church to meet the physical need of the pastor. You know, they are to be fully engaged in praying for the pastor. Yes, We should be praying because it's looking unto God for direction. You know, it's very important to pray for our leader. The Bible even says, we soon go there. If we want, there are some things, the need we see in the church, that you just go to God and say, Lord, this area, open the eyes of the people in leadership to see this thing, you know. It's better to pray than to complain. You know, when we complain, when we murmur, if we see anything, we take it to God in prayer, and God is ever faithful. You know, the church as a whole, and for specific individual that may need one thing or the other, we have to pray for each other. Even when in our own personal prayer, we have to remember members of our church, you know, to pray for them. You know, it's not any time that we should not wait till Tuesday. We should pray for each other every day. Let's quickly look at 1 Timothy 2:1-3. It's talking about praying for the leaders. Where are my readers?
Authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in sight of God our Savior.
Praise the Lord. The Bible encourages us to pray for all leaders, you know. It didn't say we should complain. It didn't say complain or bring them down. No, it said we should pray, you know, so that we'll be able to live peacefully. You know, when we pray, you know, things, you see the hand of God, things will begin to change for the better. You know, the church member must be ready to willingly assist in meeting the physical need of the poor, you know, the widow, the orphan, you know, stranger, people who are new, you know, to settle them. It's our responsibility to see to the physical, to their physical need, you know. Anybody who is new in the church, we have to look after his or her welfare, the poor, the people that we know that are struggling. We should not, you know, close our eyes to them. We ask God to open our eyes so that we'll be able to see their need, you know. I tell people, I say, anytime you want to give something to somebody, don't go and give somebody something to somebody because you went to the market and you saw some rotten apple, they are cheap. That is when you are going to give to somebody. No, buy a quality something, anything you want to buy, make it the quality one. Don't say because it's markdown time. You see, don't know that the expiry date is some few hours. Then it's time to give somebody something to somebody. No, you have to propose in your hand. You have to make effort to buy something that is good and give it to people. I know some people, somebody came and said, oh, there's somebody, she came. She gave me many things because then I was struggling. I came, all the things she gave me have been expired. So take your time to look at the expiry date of whatever you are giving out, especially when you are giving it to, you know, so that people will not misinterpret it, you know. Maybe you just want, oh, because he's struggling at this point, whatever you don't need, that is not even useful, that nobody can use, you know, just say, because let me just give. No, we should make effort to give a quality, you know, things to people that are in need. Let's quickly look at 1 Corinthians 16:1. At all these things, they are pointing to assisting the needy in our church. So let's quickly go to the last one. So very importantly, the members are to give of their substance, time, and energy for the running of the church. Can we quickly look at Malachi 3:10? We are talking about our responsibilities in the church. Malachi 3:10 is a very popular one. It says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will be not enough room to receive it. Praise the Lord. You know, it says that it is our responsibility to, you know, bring quality, you know, tithes and offering, you know, substance, our time, our energy, so that those are the way, you know, if we bring something to the Church of God, that is where we can, the church can be running, we'll be able to pay our bills, do those things that we need to do, and we have to, you know, sacrifice time, you know, everything good need time, anything that we need to do that we cannot make effort, out of our tight schedule, we should separate time for the things of God, even our energy, you know, there are some things in the church that need to be done, all those things require time, and all those things, you know, there are three things, time, even if you have the money, you still have to separate time to do it, so that's why everything goes together, we need it, it's not our business to say, I'm not going to pay my tithe because I don't know how the tithe is being spent, and you know, you do your own, and God will is ever faithful to do his own. He said, oh, I'm not even going to separate time to come and work for God because after all, this is not my ministry. This is where you've been fed. This is where God has put you for now. So you should be able to separate time and sacrifice for the smooth running and preparation for our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus Christ is coming for a church without spot or wrinkle. So that is why we should work together as a church. Praise the Lord. So we've had all our responsibilities as a member of the church, that, you know, Christ is the head of the church. The pastor oversees the local churches and he has the capacity to appoint people to help equipping the church and prepare, you know, for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's our responsibility to see, you know, to the people who are just coming in new, the widows, people who are struggling, and to see to the physical welfare of the leadership, the pastor, and more importantly, we have to give quality offering. We have to separate time, energy for the running of the church. Any question, contribution, things that I've not said well, things that need clarification, talking about our responsibility in the church.
To the leadership of the church is very important. I mean, as a church, we don't pay salary to our pastor. We don't do, you know, we don't have to pay anyone for anything, which is wonderful, which is good. But we need to know what the Bible actually says, so that we don't take it as the norm. So when you go to a place where people have to sort of, you know, pay salary to their pastor, you know, take care of them or something, you don't think it's a strange thing. It's not strange. It's what the Bible actually asks us to do. And also, I mean, when we started, we said the church is a family. And what do? Families look after each other. If people can't look after somebody who is in need, then you cannot say you are a family to that person. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, let me read verses 1 and 2. It says, now concerning the money contributed for the relief of the saints, God's people. It's God's people. So aside from that of the pastor, you are looking after people of God in the church. He said, you are to do the same as I directed the churches of Galatia to do. That's Paul. He directed them, said, give money for this purpose, to look after these people. You know, on the first day of each week, today, let each one of you personally put aside something and save it up as he has prospered in proportion to what he is giving, so that no collection will need to be taken after I come. So in other words, you see, that's why some people in some churches, apart from your tithes and your normal offering, what else do they give? Okay, there's vow, yes. Yes? Yeah, pledge? Yes? Okay. There's another one.
Sacrificial.
Exactly. That you give for people who might. I mean, if the church will actually do well, such things will go into the welfare box. So that people who are in need, they don't have to go, they don't have to know people and beg. You know? We were trying to set up a welfare committee one time. There should be people who are there, people whose mouths not runny, who people can go to and just say, this is my situation, and they will help out. I personally believe, particularly if somebody is just coming into town, they are new, you know, before they find their feet, they should be helped. That's what the church is for. Otherwise, we are not families. I see a lot of, you know, when I see people here, maybe they are admitted into hospital, and they say, oh, I've given so much trouble to my dad, I've given so much trouble to my this. People are coming to, they're taking time, they're coming to visit me. And I say, that's what families are for. That's what families are for. Your family is not only when you are making it, when you are rich, when you have abundance. No, it's also when you are struggling that you know you can call on the family. And I think the church should serve that same purpose. There will be people, I mean, don't bother about people who, you say, oh, some people will take advantage. What we normally do in this church is this. We find out that when somebody is just coming, we try to put as much help around that person. And once you find your feet, you know, we keep our distance. We are looking for the next person, you know, who is coming like that. And God will use the church to do it. So that is our responsibility. If you look at what has been taught this morning, it's basically outlined the responsibility of each member, starting from the pastors, the elders, the bishops, you know, the deacons, the workers in the church, and the members of the congregation. And I pray that as we hear these words, you know, we have already prayed for us, that God will give us that grace, and we will be willing to do what is required as children of God. In Jesus' name.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you again for your word. Father, we receive new grace to do what your word says. Enable us, Lord, because by ourselves we cannot do it, Lord. Help us to do your will. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.